My name is Rachel Rosenthal. I'm a PhD candidate in rabbinic literature at JTS and also a member of the faculty of Nishma, a summer of Torah study at JTS. This week's Parsha is Chaye Sarah. Who inherits Abraham? It is a well-known, if vaguely uncomfortable, psychological phenomenon that when looking for a partner, people are often attracted to those who are similar to their parents in appearance and personality. It is easy to see the logic behind this. When planning for our futures, we seek that which is familiar to us from our pasts. This notion is often thought of as a modern phenomenon, reflecting a time when people choose their own mates. However, closer examination dates this concept back to the Torah, starting with the marriage of Isaac and Rebekah. At first glance, it would seem that Rebekah appears on the scene as a replacement for Sarah. It is not until Sarah's death at 127, recorded at the beginning of this week's Parsha, that Abraham begins to occupy himself with finding a wife for Isaac. He tells his servant, identified in the Midrash as Eliezer, to go back to Nahor, his homeland, to find Isaac a wife from the same community from which he found Sarah. Towards the end of the Parsha, after Isaac and Rebekah have finally met, the Torah tells us, "And Isaac took her to the tent of Sarah his mother, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted about his mother." It is the arrival of Rebekah that allows Isaac to come to terms with the loss of Sarah. Certainly, logic would suggest that Rebekah is to accept the role that Sarah played as a complement to the role that Isaac is to inherit from Abraham. A patriarch requires a matriarch, someone who can carry his family legacy through to the next generation. However, a closer reading of Genesis 24 suggests the possibility of another, less conventional possibility. Perhaps Rebekah does not come to replace Sarah. Perhaps her true role is to replace Abraham. As much as Chaye Sarah marks the beginning of the Isaac narrative, it is really Rebekah's story. When Eliezer sets out to find Isaac's wife, he beseeches God, "And let it be that the young woman to whom I say, 'Put your vessel down so that I may drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I will also give to your camels to drink,' let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac." Although the classical commentators are bothered by Eliezer's establishment of conditions for finding the correct wife, especially without the affirmation of God, Eliezer is not establishing a set of arbitrary parameters. Indeed, it is clear that this is not a haphazard test. As the medieval Italian commentator Sforno points out, although Eliezer gives Rebekah gifts before he knows her identity, he does not do so until she has finished watering the camels. It is not until he knows that this mystery woman is not seeking anything in return that he can be sure that he is the one she is seeking. To quote Sforno, Eliezer needs to know that Hayu kol ma'aseha al-tzad ha-chesed ha-gamor. All of her actions were in the realm of complete chesed, or loving kindness. It is the first step in finding the woman who will be able to inherit the tradition of his master. The parallels between Abraham and Rebekah are clear. Just as Abraham is known primarily for his commitment to chesed, so too Eliezer's first interaction with Rebekah is one of chesed gamor, complete chesed. Just as Abraham rushes out to welcome the strangers who come to visit him in Genesis 18, Rebekah offers Eliezer lodging in her father's home. Just as Abraham was asked to leave his homeland right away without knowing where he was going, Eliezer asked Rebekah to accompany him right away. And just as Abraham goes forth without comment or complaint when he hears God's command, Rebekah says only one word, "Elech," I will go, before setting off on her journey. In many ways, it makes sense that Rebekah would be so similar to Abraham. First, it is Abraham and not Isaac who instructs Eliezer about the qualities of a possible mate for Isaac. Second, as much as Isaac is the inheritor of his father, it is clear from the Torah that the two are not especially alike. Where Abraham sets out on epic journeys, Isaac never leaves Canaan. Where God speaks to Abraham to explain the divergent fate of his two sons, it is Rebekah and not Isaac who is told about the future of Jacob and Esau. While Abraham is deeply involved in the world, engaging in wars and making pacts with kings, Isaac often seems more involved in otherworldly affairs, meditating in the field and literally losing his ability to see what's around him. And where the rabbis traditionally associate Abraham with the value of chesed, Isaac is linked to gvurah, the attribute of strength and judgment. Therefore, to allow Isaac to fully become himself, his wife must be able to emulate his father's character. In Bereishit Rabbah on Chayesara, Parsha 59, the Midrash tells us that at the time that Abraham sent Eliezer to find Rebekah, God sent two angels to help, one to guide Eliezer in the right direction and one to ensure that God would go out to meet him. This Midrash serves to emphasize the importance of the match between Rebekah and Isaac, but also to affirm the centrality of Rebekah as a character unto herself. Far from being a simple tool in her husband's pursuit of his fate, Rebekah, too, has a crucial role in the unfolding of the history of the Jewish people. It is not any woman who could be Isaac's wife. Both Abraham and Eliezer understand that beyond simply coming from Abraham's family, the right woman must have the distinctive traits and strong personality of her own. Ultimately, Eliezer identifies Rebekah not because of her relatives, but because of the traits she embodies. So perhaps Rebekah, fearless but kind, a daughter, sister, wife, and mother, but also an individual, inheritor of Abraham and institutor of her own vision, can teach us to look beyond our set roles and expectations and instead see the people we really are and can become beneath the surface.